The 2018 Mazda plate clearance is all go. Save with driveaway value. See your local Mazda dealer today.
Roo and Dits, top three things you need to know.
Oh, Roo, you and I got held up for ages yesterday morning coming back from Ingle Farm. We thought, what is going on? And, of course, it was the teacher's strike.
Yes, it sure was. The teacher's strike, there was thousands of people there and they're not happy at the moment.
We're here because the Marshall government is not listening to what you've told us to present to them in relation to the nature of your work and what you need to support that work for the learning outcomes for your students.
Yay. That was a bit confusing.
Yeah, I don't know who to believe on this one. Dits, there's a 7-point plan apparently that the teachers want the government to look at. Rob Lucas is saying it's mostly about cash and doesn't seem like he wants to budge at the moment. I spoke to the kids when I got home from work yesterday.
What was their take on it?
How'd your day go, Joe? He said, great, we didn't do anything.
Yeah, nice.
So they were happy as hell.
I just want to hear that. So they're not listening to what you wanted us to tell them that they wanted us to then do and go back to with that you asked us to do, and then you said, can you do this? That's not confusing at all.
Yeah. So apparently, though, Dits, there's a chance of another strike before the end of the school year. So watch this space.
So, Joe Ricciuto, you'll be happy as Larry.
Yep. Could have another half day off. Absolutely perfect. Hey, this radar gun story is a bit of an interesting one. So there's 125 cases that have been dropped in court from people who have queried their fines. And there's been 190 guns taken out of use on SA roads. They've been removed because apparently they haven't been calibrated, if that's the right word, or checked to make sure they're accurate, which they're supposed to do, and then they're supposed to have a certificate signed so that when you go to court and challenge them, there's a certificate to say when it's been calibrated and checked so it's accurate.
Mm.
The police, apparently, if I've read this right, knew about this 2 years ago and haven't done anything about it. Now, I apologise if I got that wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's right. So, yeah, that's why people are challenging. 125 have been thrown out. Now, for dummies like me who have had a few speeding fines and just pay them because you think, you know, you just take on trust that you got done and you haven't got many demerit points left or money in your wallet, I query whether people should be able to go back and say, well, should I paid that fine?
Well, have you kept all the paperwork?
Good question, Dits. But they can prove what car it is and all that.
So they should be able to have computer records.
Absolutely.
I suppose. Yeah. So you're saying you want your demerit points reinstated. That's what this is all about, really.
125 people have had it thrown out.
Yeah.
How many people do you reckon would have been caught and paid fines out of 190 guns in 2 years?
No, good question.
How many do you reckon?
Oh, I don't know. But
thousands.
How many points are we talking here, Roo? How many do you need back?
Oh, 12 will do. I'd like a clean slate.
I knew that's what
this
is
about. And a couple of grand. And pain and suffering.
Pain and suffering. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I haven't been able to sleep.
No.
The sex life's gone.
Oh, gee.
That's what they
This is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You know what? It's just been taking over my mind and I haven't been able to work properly. Make it a million.
Round it up.
Round it up.
Now, a sad story, Roo.
Yep.
A young fella has died at schoolies.
Where?
On the Gold Coast. A young New South Wales boy. Oh, look, Roo, I don't want to be a killjoy, but I worry about schoolies, and I think a lot of us do every single year.
You worry about your kid going out every Saturday night
you
and
do,
Thursday night.
And I don't know. The look of schoolies just isn't a good image. I'm sorry to be, as I said, an old square. Now, both my kids have been through it. They went to Victor Harbour and had a great time and came home unscathed, but I don't know. I go back to the days of, on your final day of school, have a party at home, you know, get your 20 best mates around and say, right, we've done year 12, we're finished.
Mm.
That might sound a bit ho-hum, but I don't know.
It is for these kids, but there's no doubt
this kid's,
the percentage of chance of an accident or an injury or a death goes through the roof.
Yeah.
When you're going to have a big night like that and you're set for it and you've, you know, you get your cash and you're going away with boys and there's a bit of peer group. There's obviously you're pushing your boundaries a little bit.
Yep.
Chances of it happening increase.
Hey, just finally, a story out of New Zealand this morning. A Father Christmas has been sacked Now, this bloke, this
getting
is like
sacked before Christmas.
Yeah, he's sacked before Christmas.
Sacked.
So I don't know what's going to happen. All the kids getting their presents, but basically, they have in Auckland, like our Christmas pageant, they have this massive Christmas parade. Mm. And the paper interviewed this bloke who's been Father Christmas for many, many years,
okay.
And he made the statement. Also, by the way, he's a very serious Father Christmas because he runs workshops on the side teaching people how to be Santa Claus at your
really?
Local shopping centre. So it's a business for this bloke.
Right.
He has interviewed by the paper and said, oh, a woman can't be Santa Claus. Well, do you reckon there's been an outrage, uproar? Oh, everyone. So the paper.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, well, he's been sacked for saying.
Why?
So my question to you, Ruth.
How can you have a woman as Father Christmas?
Well, that's a good question. And that's what I'm saying. We all keep
who
talking.
Was it, Saint?
Saint Nicholas, the original.
I haven't heard too many girls
Saint
called Nicholas.
No, probably not. No. But it's interesting,
well,
though, in this day and age.
Overturn the decision.
The way we're heading.
Apologise to him.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I'd like to get some more detail on this sacking, Dits.
Mm.
Can you
all
dig
right.
a bit deeper?
Oh, well, I'll dig deeper for
dig
you.
Dig deeper for us.
But at the moment, no, there's no Santa in Auckland in New Zealand.
Okay.
All right.
Come over here, kids.
That's what's making news. Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Lawrence Mooney up next.
On Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, it's comedian and five-star jerk, Lawrence the Moon Man Mooney.
Lawrence Mooney!
Hey, for the last time this year, Moon Man, good morning.
Thank God it's the last time this year.
Come on, you've loved it.
How
Come
are
on.
You, boys? Congratulations on another stunning year at the Ems in Adelaide. You've a richly deserved holiday. I mean, you put together almost 10 days of work.
Yeah.
And
I'm limping to the line, Moons.
Moons.
Yes, well, when it comes to the line, you know, there's two kind of finishes, isn't there? When the line's in sight, are you a Kenyan that then knuckles down and goes for it hard?
Yes.
Or are you that woman that comes into the stadium and ends up wrapped in a silver blanket, kind of like just dragging your legs around?
I think you know the answer to that.
I think you're the silver blanket lady, aren't you?
That's it.
There was a bit of footage going around about a couple of brothers in a marathon, and one of the brothers just slowed down and put his arm around his brother and carried him across the line, Moons.
Yeah.
Right.
It's been happening a bit in Adelaide, I think, this week.
Right, that's like a little bit of Rolf Harris's Two Little Boys.
No, fondling, but just, you know, a bit of a cuddle and say, come on, son, you're nearly there.
Come on.
Come on, big fella. Come on.
Mate. That's right. Yeah. So you're Simpson and his donkey, Roo, and you're just carrying.
And the donkey's going to go to the paddock now because he's out of
Hey, that's absolutely sensational. Or you could, of course, there's another way to finish a marathon, and that is Robert DiCostella in the 1988 Commonwealth Games, having pooped his dacks as he went through the past the Breakfast Creek Hotel.
Oh, I nearly did that yesterday. I'd had the runs, but anyway. Hey, Mundine and Horner up in Brisbane. What's the feeling up there? There was a bit of argy-bargy at the weigh-in yesterday, and we've interviewed Mundine and Horn this week. Mundine reckons he's in the best shape of his career. Horn, very confident he's too fit and too young to knock him out.
I think Horn will destroy him, but the feeling in Brisbane is massive because it's a complete sellout at Suncorp Stadium.
Really?
The last time that happened was, what's that?
How many people can they get in Suncorp?
I reckon it's about 30,000 people in Suncorp.
Okay.
So it's a big, like, you know, big crowd for a fight.
Yeah,
and you remember the Manny Pacquiao
fight?
They had
50 at that fight. Was that at the same place?
Yeah, that was the same place.
They had 50 at that one, so.
Oh, well, yeah, it's 50,000. When you said how many people can you get into Suncorp, what I should have said was, I have no idea, rather than say 30,000
people.
That's
right. That's okay. It's 30,000.
But, you know, it was man answering. It's like, you wanted an answer. I gave you one. I think we were all happy and move on.
Sorry, I shouldn't have corrected you.
But I think that they could have promoted this fight better. I mean, you know, they're saying that it's going to be the fight, the man versus the Hornet, when really they should have been saying Mundine copping Horn in the ring at Suncorp Stadium. I mean, that's the way to really get people there.
Well, hey, now, can I ask you about your daughter? You told us a week or two ago.
Pretty happy with that work, to tell you the truth.
No, good. We'll replay it later. Now, well, you were telling us earlier a couple of weeks ago about your daughter's nativity play. How'd it go?
Well, yeah, Maggie was cast as Mary yesterday, and she just absolutely nailed it.
Did she?
She arrived in Bethlehem. The birth, well, it was just her being handed a baby.
Yes.
But Maggie's been, you know, pretending to be a mum all of her life, putting babies to bed. So when she leant down and put that baby in the manger, wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Oh, really?
Looked up, delivered the line, "Isn't my baby beautiful?" Bang. Oh, then her best friend Nellie was cast as the donkey. And she started singing this song that featured the word donkey a lot. Donkey! Donkey! And so it was an emotional roller coaster from, you know, beautiful, heartrending scenes to this hilarious donkey screaming out the word donkey 55 times.
Mm. Now, did you have both wives at this, like you do when you go to the footy, or did you just have the one wife?
Oh, no, just the one wife at this one. Thanks, Dits. Oh. Yeah, my eldest daughter is, of course, at schoolies.
Oh, no kidding.
She's finished school and she is at schoolies in Lawn on the west coast of Victoria. Mm. And I think, you know, not what I know about schoolies, I think that her and her friends are just sitting in a large circle talking about their feelings and aspirations for the future, getting early nights and probably exercising, I don't know, swimming, surfing, that sort of stuff.
Catching up on a bit of reading and stuff.
Yeah, catching up on a bit of reading. It's probably insisting old school that no boys are allowed in their house.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
bit of so they keep avocado them for breakfast. And
saving themselves for marriage at a later date.
Mm.
Is the way I see things. I can hear some mocking laughter there, I will not have that. You're besmirching the character of my 18-year-old daughter.
Not at all.
You animal.
Now, listen, before you go, is there any chance Christopher Pine sitting close by just for one last time?
Yeah, actually.
He's in our paper today.
Is he at schoolies?
Oh, hi, guys. Oh. What am I in the paper for today?
Just party chaos and schoolies and things like that.
Party chaos? Mm. I'll tell you what, the Liberal party chaos, I love a party. I used to have a bit of a party trick, do you know that? Mm.
What was it?
You know what they call Slug Jordan, Slug Jordan?
Right.
I just sometimes used to leave it on the table until people notice.
All right, I'm sorry I asked Christopher to come on now. Hey, Christopher and
party
Moons.
Party time!
Have a great holiday. And Moons, thanks for all your work this year. Thanks so much.
Excuse me, Chris. Thank you very much, guys. Have a happy and safe Christmas, and we'll see you in 2019.
Good on you,
Moons.
Lawrence Mooney here on Triple M.
What a goal!
Ruin Dits Overnight Sports.
There aren't many guarantees, but here's one. The Pier Hotel at Glenelg is all new and absolute waterfront.
Roo, all the big names were on the track for the Crows yesterday.
Yeah, they got Tex Walker, Brody Smith and Brad Crouch all doing some training for a change. And Brody Smith had a chat to the media.
We feel like we're hunting now. We're back into trying to get ourselves back up into that top eight, top four spot. And like you said, our list is great. We went through it at the end of last year and looked at our best 22 to 30 players, and it's a really good list. And we take confidence out of that. There's no reason why we can't be one of the best teams next year.
Champion data. Now, you won't agree with this, and I don't know if I do either, but they've ranked every team on every player for next year. They've got Melbourne as the highest-ranked team for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Adelaide at second, Richmond third, Essendon fourth, Collingwood fifth, Geelong 6th, GWS 7th, North Melbourne at 8, Hawthorn at 9, Brisbane at 10, West Coast, who were premiers last year, at 11.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Port Adelaide at 12th, Sydney at 13th, St Kilda, Western Bulldogs, Carlton, Frio, Gold Coast. So see how wrong they get that.
Yeah. Hey, did you read the article about Kevin Bartlett yesterday?
No.
AFL legend. Had an absolute crack at Port Adelaide, just out of the blue for nothing, for no reason.
What, on SEN or something?
Yeah, on Melbourne Radio, saying
now what?
The fact that we called ourselves the Power and how ridiculous it was, and it's a stupid name. And it just, just went out on this rant about,
he was just celebrating his 48th wedding anniversary.
Was he?
Yeah.
Must have had a bad
one. Must have had a bad night.
Must have missed out.
Come on, KB.
Yeah. Just came out of the blue.
How dare you pick on Paul?
Exactly. Hey, let's talk cricket, shall we? South Australia, a tall order today. 1 for 16 and need another 387 to beat Tassie down in Hobart.
I'll get that easy.
All right, India. Five of the top six, I should say, made half centuries in their game against the Australian 11. So all of their batsmen warming up nicely there. Adelaide United tonight up against Brisbane Roar. At Cooper Stadium.
Yep.
Of course, it's Jeff Horn and Anthony Mundine tonight as well. Jeff Horn, the overwhelming favourite.
Gee, Mundine's cocky. He is very confident.
I'm like a caged tiger right now, man. I'm like a caged lion. I'm ready to go, man. Like, when you put something in front of me that, I'm ready to eat, and I'm going to attack it. You know what I mean? That's all I can say.
Yeah. Wanting to address the United Nations at some stage. He's so articulate, isn't he?
I'm looking forward to this fight tonight. He's shot his mouth off a little bit Monday, and let's hope he can back it up.
All right, that's our look at sport. There aren't many guarantees, but here's one. The Pier Hotel at Glenelg is all new and absolute waterfront.
Well, we've had a few top fives this week. We've got another one coming up next. It is the top five things that have happened in the whole year.
6:40, Ruined It's here on Triple M Roo. It's our last show for the year. Yep. And I say this with some trepidation, but apparently these are five of the highlights coming up now. The top five things that happened this year.
It's time to play the music.
This is Jahunga Khan. That will be great.
Just had another text message from Miss Dip.
We can make it look like Vinny Cotaggio.
Don't treat us like a fool. You're acting like a tool.
Tell you what, this could be the end of Dit.
Russell Coit, all Aussie Adventures, G-string.
They've got to be fair dinkum.
You get what you deserve.
I say calm down, mate.
Helen from Hindley Street.
Hello, how are you?
Please explain.
The top five things we learned on Ruined Dits this year. Number five.
Chris Dittmar fell up an escalator three times late last year.
And I'd nearly get to the top.
And what happened?
And I slip over. I caught the top. I fall over.
And his wobbly legs were unable to see him through the start of 2018.
I was walking home. I don't know if someone tripped me up. But
oh, no. Yeah. Take another tumble.
Took a tumble.
We learnt Dits may have topped his escalator story.
Saturday night, we had my sister-in-law's 50th. I was walking home. You know, I live in the hills now. So it's sort of a bit cross-country.
Yeah.
And I fell and I ended up in a creek bed.
Oh, no.
And out in the middle of nowhere, next minute I look up and there's this bloke standing over me. Got his business
What's
card.
What's your boyfriend's name?
And you wouldn't believe who came in the next day.
Who's this bloke?
Well, your boyfriend's coming in.
Tell us your name.
Yeah. Sean from Next Generation Roofing.
How did you find Dits?
Oh, I just heard a bit of moaning noise coming from the creek.
A bit of moaning noise. Can you explain the sort of moaning that was going on? Animal would you relate it to?
Oh, a bit of a wombat. He was flat on his back like a starfish.
Was he injured?
Took him back to the room, gave him a bottle of water and then walked him home.
Yeah.
Gee, I don't remember that bit. Do we have water? Don't embellish the story, Sean. But let's wrap it up there, all right?
Number four.
So after Chris Dittmar fell in the ditch, we learned it was time for the guys to turn things around and get fit.
Decided, 24 hours ago that we're going to get into this big fitness campaign?
But the Ruined Dits Get Fit campaign got off to a rocky start.
You fell off the fitness wagon an hour after we started. You're eating carrot cake.
Half an hour before I ate the carrot cake, Roo says, right, we're going fishing, you get the grog.
Yeah, but that was planned. That was part of the fishing day. You didn't need to eat that carrot cake, did you?
I didn't need to get a carton of grog either, but we did.
A couple of weeks later, the boys were back on track.
I've gone down 100 grams. 107.5.
Dits lost 100 grams in 1 week, but the good times didn't last long. Hop on the scales, Dits.
Probably shocking need to take sessions. Your jocks off as well, yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, I'll just look the other way. There we go.
Are you confident, Dits?
Calculating.
Don't know.
Calculating.
This is bull dust.
Oh, no!
I'm not reading that out. Oh, thanks for your support.
You have gone up. And don't you dare tell me it's muscle.
It is. These trousers are falling off me. So I think I have put on some muscle.
Put on 300 grams of muscle this weekend.
Look at your last 4 weeks there, Christopher.
Yeah.
You've lost 1 kilo in 4 weeks.
250 grams per week on average. If only he'd listened to April from Morfettville's advice.
Got a hint for you. Before you weigh yourself, go to the toilet and have number two.
Thank you. Thanks, April.
Number three in the top five things we learnt this year on Ruined Dits is how many strange phone topics this show seems to have.
Give us a call, 1-333-5-3.
We're here to help.
Where have you done a wee?
When have you walked in on your parents doing the wild thing? The RAA ad, where is it?
Yeah, give us a buzz if you know where it is.
1-333-5-3, give us a ring if you've been stiff.
This is on the back of yesterday, people weeing in cupboards and all sorts of things.
Mm.
Where have you chucked?
Yeah, Christmas presents in your handbag, on your dog, on the curtains, on your wife.
Tell you what, you can win $10,000. Any of you people that have married your cousins, give us a call.
Oh,
Where have you farted? Let's go to Salisbury Park. G'day, Jason.
I've just let the loudest, biggest one rip that you've ever heard.
Oh, well, the only way is up next year.
Number two.
We learnt Chris Dittmar's wife loves texting the show.
What have you got there, Wag?
Hello, I just needed to interrupt quickly. I've just had a text message from Mrs. Dittmar.
What's she saying?
This is happening daily.
What now?
And her best effort of texting in was probably during the Guess Who's Snoring contest.
You tell me the number that you think is Dit snoring.
1, 2, 3, or 4.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'd have to go C, I think, wouldn't I?
C, 3? Oh, 3.
Yeah. Oh.
Kate, the wife of Chris Dittmar, has just texted in. Number 3! Yes! Well done, Kate.
Number 1.
The number one thing we learnt this year on Ruined Dits was how one of Roo's kids was conceived.
I conceived young Tom, my youngest, in the swag ditch. Sarah walked past, I pulled her into the swag, I zipped her up, and the boys reckon it was like a Venus flytrap. You're not going anywhere.
The Venus flytrap. It makes itself very attractive.
Oh, yeah.
But any visiting insect had better watch out.
Sarah walked past.
This fly has to tread carefully.
Pulled her into the swag, I zipped her up.
The fly is doomed. And the leaf snaps shut in just a fraction of a second.
You're not going anywhere.
The tips lock together like prison bars. The plant has finished its meal and resets itself for its next victim.
It's plenty to do when you camp. Doesn't cost you anything.
The top 5 things we learned on Ruined Dits this year.
Good stuff. Funny stuff.
What, do you reckon it's been a good year or not?
Oh, it's been mediocre. We've had a few funny phoners, haven't we?
Yeah, a bit strange. Right. Yeah.
We'll keep working on them.
Ruined Dits here on Triple M. 6:54, Ruined Dits on Triple M, 24 degrees in Adelaide today, a corker of a day coming up. Roo, we've had a pretty special week. Because it was our last week on air, we wanted to get out and thank the community, really, who support us all the time, didn't we?
Absolutely, and a good little reminder that it's not always a great time of the year for everyone. I mean, most people are lucky enough to have pretty good lives, but there's a lot of people out there that haven't, and we need to remember that as a community, and we need to do something about it. I think it's everyone's obligation to help people that aren't as well off as what we are, and this week we've done it with the Hut Street Appeal for the Homeless, we've done it with the Salvos, yesterday out at Ingle Farm, and we did it down at Semaphore at Westport Primary School with Kickstart for Kids, who go into 320 schools every day, which is just unbelievable.
And still aware,
of course, which was amazing on Tuesday.
All right, here's a look back at how the week unfolded.
Triple M's Ruined Dits, lend a hand.
Thought we might be able to do something just to try and help out a little bit.
We're giving back to South Australia just in time for Christmas.
Today, it's the Hut Street Centre. Michael Francis from Hut Street joins us. Michael, good morning.
Thanks for having me in, gentlemen. Well, we're very proud of what we've been doing there for 64 years in that one building there. I think in the last 12 months, we've got nearly 600 people off the streets and into safe, secure housing.
Wow.
We've had nearly 150 people that we've assisted into employment, something like 12,000 showers per annum, about 7,500 loads of laundry. As we speak, there are 6,000 people experiencing homelessness in South Australia.
Yeah, that's a lot. I'll tell you what, our street team are down there this morning. Let's go down to Jaden from the Rock Patrol.
We've cooked up the storm this morning. We've had snags, we've had scrambled eggs, cooked up some toast, killed some spuds, done a whole heap down here. We've had about 20 or 30 come through this morning, which has been really good. Just to see the smiles on their faces coming up to the festive season, it brings a smile to our face as well.
Today's a real special one, Roo. Claire Ford from Still Aware is our special guest. Thanks for coming
me
in.
Again.
No, thank you so much. And we mean that for those of us that don't know, a stillborn baby, a miscarriage, are they the same thing? Are they different?
Stillbirth happens one in every 135 pregnancies. So post-pregnancy scenario, you still have the desire to care for your child. Imagine having the 5-day lows on top of losing your child. It's just awful, you know, and there's no adequate way to describe what a stillbirth feels like. It's every emotion at once.
What could raising money do for Still Aware, Claire, if we throw the lines open a minute and try and raise some money?
Every woman deserves a pack, everything that she can do to help protect her baby. And so those are the two major things that we do at Still Aware, educating consumers, mums, families, as well as clinicians.
Claire, we love it when you come in, so stay with us throughout the morning. Thanks. And we'll see if we can raise some serious money, okay?
Awesome.
Now, believe Linda has pledged $40. She's 9 weeks pregnant, Claire, and has been very, very touched by listening to you this morning. Triple M here. Thank you to our management. $500 from Triple M, Roo.
Oh, that's a good start.
Yeah. Ollie from Oakbank. Good on you, Ollie. How much from Ollie, Roo?
Ollie's throwing in $500, which is absolutely amazing, Ollie.
We've just had a great phone call, Roo. Travel auctions. What they're going to do is match dollar for dollar what is raised this morning.
You're so amazing. Okay.
So, in other words, we've just doubled whatever.
Wow.
Mate of mine there, Dominic, he has donated $500.
Plenty of donations coming in this morning. Roo, we can round these up. Just under $10,000.
That's amazing.
I am super blown away and so incredibly thankful to Triple M.
Good on you, Claire. You're doing an outstanding job. Keep it up.
Every now and then you meet someone who blows you away.
Yeah, takes it to another level.
And the bloke I'm talking about is Ian Still, who started Kickstart for Kids, and he joins us now. G'day, Ian. How are you?
G'day, boys. Good, thanks. Thanks Steely. For having us. I've been mentoring kids for a long, long time, and during that time I noticed that there was a massive behavioural difference between the kids at the school where I was mentoring, which, you know, I found kids that were living in the backs of cars, 11-year-olds that were coming to school with needle marks in their arms, 11-year-old girls that were talking about getting the baby bonus when they got pregnant, and I found a staggering thousands and thousands of kids that were just absolutely starving, you know, having to go through bins to find food. And so I knew that I couldn't take them all home and look after them, be a father to them, but what I could do was try and give them breakfast.
These are things that I just don't associate with Adelaide or South Australia. Well, I would never have thought we had these issues here, seriously.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for all your support. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get plenty of volunteers that want to come and help us. And I've just been following it online, and I reckon we've got $3,000 or $4,000 already donated.
Mate, we are in awe of what you're doing.
We are at the Salvation Army out here at Ingle Farm.
Got Mark Foyle joining us. Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, good morning.
People that come and visit this centre on a daily basis, what are the issues?
Well, the issues are underemployment. They've got a job, but it might be 20 hours, it might be 15 hours. It's not enough to make ends meet. The age-old alcohol abuse is the biggest issue.
Is that right? What does that lead to?
It leads to domestic violence. It leads to people who aren't able to do jobs, so they're unemployed. A whole range of stuff happens with alcohol abuse. They come to places like the Salvos just to get them through the week and feed their families.
How can people help the Salvation Army?
Look, they can help the Salvation Army a whole range of ways. There's going to be Salvos out in shopping centres all around the place soon, so please drop that coin in. But we also have a couple of other programs called Hamper of Hope, where people can go to a Salvo store or ring the Salvation Army, get a bag, fill it up with about $50 worth of groceries, and we can give that to a family for Christmas.
Fantastic. Right. And just explain what's happening here at the moment. It's fantastic to see.
There's a stack of food on display for people to come down and grab leading into Christmas. We've got fresh fruit. We've got all sorts of things. Pasta, chips, milk, yogurts.
There's bread. Vegetables.
Water, carrots, heaps of stuff.
Breakfast cereal.
Plenty of food down here at Salvation Army Ingle Farm.
A lot of people helped us this week, Roo, so we want to thank everybody.
Yep.
Because we've just got such a great community that listens to Triple M each day.
Yeah, each one of those charities affected me differently, to be honest. I was a little bit surprised yesterday out at Ingle Farm about the people that were walking through and, you know, their need for it. But as soon as you understand why they're doing it, you can understand the situation. Just not getting enough work and not enough money to survive. So, yep, if you've got some spare money or you want to do something with your kids to teach them a lesson or, you know, whatever reason, just help those groups. Hut Street, Salvos, Kickstart for Kids and Still Aware, four great charities in South Australia.
Ruined It's here on Triple M. Ring now if you want to win $1,000 for the last time this year. The pressure test, 133353. 7:16, Ruined It's here on Triple M on this Friday morning, 24 in Adelaide today. Roo, there's been a hullabaloo about these solar panels, and both parties here in South Australia are pointing the finger at each other. Obviously, Libs accusing Labor accusing Libs of getting this wrong.
Mm.
What is the story?
Well, let's chat to Channel 7 political reporter Mike Smithson. G'day, Smitho.
Good morning, boys. Yes, it's a mess, you might say.
Is it Labor's fault for not putting it in the contract that it had to be a South Australian business, or is it Liberals' fault for not checking the contract, or is it both their fault for not doing both those things?
Well, it's a mixture of everything, Roo. I know it sounds really confusing, but Labor says it put it in, or it wrote it with good intent into a contract. Somehow, in translation, it got changed to not using the local product, but using a local content, which could mean installation of the panels.
Mm.
But I can't see the contract. No one will show it to me. It's apparently top secret because I think it's because it's so embarrassing that or so badly written, one of the two. But the long and short of it is the Tindo Solar, which is a well-respected South Australian company, makes panels, solar panels to go on roofs. It was given an impression, a very strong impression, but it was just a handshake and a wink and a nod by Jay Weatherill when he was Premier,
yep,
that they would supply 25,000 homes under a government scheme to put solar panels and batteries in homes.
Yep.
And I bumped into Glenn Morelli, who's a hell of a nice guy who runs the company.
Yep.
And he said to me the other day, guess how many panels we've installed? And I thought he was going to say, I was going to say somewhere between 22 and 24,000 because you've got 25,000 to do. He said, not one, zero.
So Tesla, who is the company that I'm led to believe have gone and got the Chinese panels, I mean, surely they would have come. I know they, why they've done it. They've obviously got cheaper panels out of China. This is Elon Musk's company, isn't it, that, you know, did the battery and everything at Jamestown. You know, why wouldn't he work hand in hand with the government to make sure that's done with the intention that it was supposed to be?
Well, Elon Musk isn't a billionaire for nothing. My theory is that they've bought the cheaper panels from China. Okay, they might be cheaper, but are they better?
Well, they're not even up to standard.
Well, exactly, because if you wind it forward one day, when I first did the story on Tuesday, as just sheer coincidence, the minister was launching phase two of this government program the very next day. We examined a panel, which is the first time I've got to get up close to one of these because it was at a launch. Normally, they're already up on the roof and you can't see the specifications. I sent them off to, I took a photo on my phone and sent it off to an independent person. He said, these panels don't even meet the specification of what is required in the contract for this job. So taxpayers are paying for something they're not getting,
yep,
essentially.
Smith, I want to go back to the gentleman you mentioned. Is it Mr. Morelli? Who,
yeah.
You said he hasn't installed one, and what, they were promised they'd do about 25,000. What's the story there?
Well, it should have been contracted, and it wasn't contracted, so Tesla just went and got cheaper Chinese products.
And you would think, a cynic would say, Tesla is increasing its margin by buying the cheaper stuff, charging the same price, and pocketing the difference. Now, I'm not saying that's illegal, if that's in the contract, but the contract was changed. Now, if you listen to Labor, it says between Glenn Morelli's company getting the work, as was promised, and then by the time the contract was finished after the election when the Libs got in, the amount of work was changed from solar panels to just the general work, which means 50% of the work, including the installation of these panels. So the installers are getting plenty of work, but the base product is being bought from China, and the stuff from China is an inferior product.
Sounds like a complete balls up.
As I said to the minister yesterday, if they're prepared for us to catch them out by putting these crap panels on a roof at a media launch, they've already done 100 houses in a test.
Yep.
What do you reckon the chances are that this is the first and only time it's happened? Mm. I would say very slim.
All right. Let's move on to our other story that broke as well overnight. Let's first of all hear from Superintendent Stuart McLean.
Today we have temporarily withdrawn from operation LiDAR speed detection lasers due to a legal issue associated with court prosecutions. This decision has nothing to do with the reliability or the accuracy of LiDAR speed detection devices. We invite anyone who believes they've been affected by it to write to us.
Now, if it's not about reliability and accuracy, what's it about, Smitho?
Well, it's all to do with the calibration of these guns, and there's some very technical and I would say convoluted, and if I was a police officer, I'd be bored crapless with it, but you've got to test the gun each day. Each day they have to do when I say a calibration, they've just got to test that it's working properly matched against the speed of a police car coming down the road. So before they start work, presumably, bang, yep, it all works. It's the car's doing 60 and the speed gun says it's doing 60. Now, then they've got to fill out other paperwork, but if it doesn't all match up in court on a technicality, which the laws were drafted, you know, horse and buggy days, that if you don't have all this calibration and paperwork in the exact order, a lawyer can tear you to shreds and say, well, you didn't fill out all the paperwork as you should, therefore the fine shouldn't be imposed.
That's amazing.
And one person got pinged by a gun that wasn't working properly, said they were doing 110, I think it was, when they were doing 50. So there's a problem there, but laws are being changed that police just have to have a certificate as of next week when the laws go through that it you know, this certificate covers your speed gun for today.
So the guns will be back on the road then?
They will, but I guess, what are there, 125 cases been dropped? I reckon you guys would, you'd make up at least half of them, wouldn't
We're getting
you?
In the queue.
Well, seriously,
sure.
Though, what about if you've paid bills and copped the points and you could be inaccurate?
This is very near and dear to Roo's heart.
Yeah,
Smith,
well, it actually is.
Well, Roo, if you've been picked, well, let me say, it's got to be a handheld gun, and the copper has to have stopped you on the road and issued you a certificate. It's not to do with speed cameras.
I reckon
cameras.
There's a fair few of those that have happened in the last 2 years.
Well, I suppose you're able to challenge it. Can you be bothered?
It's not the point, really, but there's a lot of people out there who will want to do it. If you said someone got busted doing 102 and they were doing 50, it's fairly inaccurate.
But the fines that have been rescinded, I take it, are guns that, you know, it's a certain amount of fines over a stipulated period, and that covers it. But I would suggest if anyone's got a problem and they think they might have been caught up in this trap, it might cost you money to go to a lawyer. Don't try and defend yourself in court. You need a lawyer to do it. Mm. It might be more trouble than it's worth, but if you feel like you've been treated unjustly, give it a go.
All right, Smitho, thanks for joining us, and thanks for your help right throughout the year. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you. Channel 7's Mike Smithson. Actually, if you've been caught up in this, give us a ring, 133353. If you believe that you've been pulled over and you're saying, hang on, I was seriously only doing 50 and you're saying I was doing 60, I'd love to hear from
Or if
from
you've
someone.
Had solar panels put on your roof in this scheme... There's plenty of people out there who have. They're saying over 100 people have already done it. Yep. If you're one of those, and there's 125 cases that have been thrown out for speeding, if you're one of those people, or if you've got anything to say on these two topics, give us a buzz on 133353. Well, we're taking calls on faulty radar guns and Chinese solar panels. Let's go to Woodcroft. G'day, Damien.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. What's happened to you?
I got done with one of those LiDAR detectors about a month ago. I was doing 60 into 60 and got done at 70. And as a result, I'm going to lose my license from it.
So do you know like 100% you were doing 60? And did you when you got pulled over, did you argue the point?
Yeah, I argued the point massively and he wasn't too happy about it. But yeah, I was 100% doing 60.
And what's happened since that last month? How's it all unfolded for you?
Well, I paid the fine as late as I could. And now I'm going to email them in and say this is pretty not good. And it's going to. You know, I work for myself, so I pretty much have to fold the business, which isn't good.
No, that isn't good. So we're hearing this morning, you should be able to write to them and you'll get off.
If you heard about this yesterday, you would have. What did you say? I told you so. I knew I wasn't speeding.
Yeah. Well, I got onto the phone with the old boy, and he's like, "Nah." All right, I believe you now because I was saying this isn't good. I wasn't speeding. Mm. And he was like, nah, you're speeding, blah, 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 all this. But he finally believed me now.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
I emailed in and waited for a reply.
Well, good luck, Damien. Hopefully, justice prevails.
That's it, mate. Cheers, boys.
Good on you, mate. More calls in just a moment. 133353, Ruined It's on Triple M. 748, Ruined It's on Triple M. Roo, big night for us tonight.
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous.
Triple M Christmas party.
Yeah, it's always a scary event, isn't it, for several reasons.
For lots of people. Now, Alice the Wag, it's a dress-up. Why do you have to dress up?
Because it just adds the fun and the vibe and, you know, it's exciting to see everyone from work in a different kind of outfit,
right.
I guess.
What's the theme tonight?
Tonight is nautical.
So nautical.
How am I going to go and watch the Jeff Horn fight dressed as a pirate beforehand? I'm going to go to a pub and watch the Jeff Horn fight dressed as a pirate and then come to the function. How is that going to work?
You're Roo. You can do anything.
All right.
Can I be the parrot sitting on your shoulder?
You just chirping away.
Well, you do make really annoying comments, so that
would
work.
like when he made you cry at a Christmas party a few years ago?
I did not.
You did. We had a full argument. You probably don't even remember. And then I burst into tears.
When?
It was two Christmas parties ago at the Alma.
Oh, I've forgotten that. That's 2 years ago.
What did he do?
Well, that week
I
didn't
make a girl cry.
I didn't mean to.
I had been working so hard and going to all these boot camps, and one of them was along Glenelg Beach, and Ditz had been obviously out for dinner along Glenelg Beach and watched me do the boot camp.
I was sitting in a bar. I was sitting in a bar and she came running past.
You're peeping Tom.
How weird is that to start with? But
that is weird.
I've had a really bad knee, which Ditz knows, so he thinks I'm limping while I'm running at this boot camp. So do you know what he does?
What?
As a 25-year-old, by the way, like I can look after myself, he calls my parents in Melbourne.
Oh, my God.
And says, like, oh, you need to do something. Your daughter is ruining her knee even more. She's
why
hurting
did you
it.
Ring the mum and dad for? Why didn't you just tell her?
I did. I've tried to tell her 20 times.
You ratted on her.
No.
Yes, he dobbed on me.
I said, listen, she's not listening to me. You need to start parenting here and tell her to stop running on this bad knee that she's got.
And should she listen to you?
You are hobbling. And you've had, how many operations have you had on your knee?
Seven.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Right.
But
so,
then I obviously get two calls from my mum and my dad, like angry, stressed in Melbourne, offering to fly over and help because of this loser who gets involved.
Sorry that I care about you.
Yep,
so and so then we had a massive argument at the Christmas party and I just burst into tears. And then he just went to the dance floor.
See, at Christmas parties, you just add the alcohol, the truth serum goes in and people start all of a sudden think it's a good time to give that boss a bit of feedback.
We've got a story about Roo from last year. When Roo was on the juice, and it involves Tim the button pusher. Yeah, what happened,
Tim?
It
was a positive, though.
Yeah, well, this is a positive. Yeah. This is
what happened.
This is positive things can happen.
I got him a couple of drinks and landed this gig.
Yeah. So what happened at this? This is absolute rigidity. Last year at the Christmas party, Roo went up to Tim here and said, you've got the job. Tim goes, oh, you're kidding. What? He goes, yep, you're our new button pusher and part of the show. Funny thing is, management didn't know about it. No one else knew about it.
We didn't know about it.
Go and get me a couple of vodkas.
So, when we came back to work after Christmas,
hey, it was a dress-up show. Dressed up as James Pattison, our boss.
So you're now the CEO appointing people here.
Yeah, and it was a very bad decision.
Yeah, we've been stuck with your drunken mistake all year.
But things happen at Christmas shows. We see it at the pubs all the time. It's for some people, it's the only time of the year they get out. They get a leave pass from their annoying wife or husband, and they get out and make the most of it.
Plus,
the
free grog's
the
a bad
boss
thing.
Is paying.
People always get overexcited when they don't have to pay.
Generally, it starts at lunch. Generally, it's warm. It's an absolute recipe for a disaster. So let's take some. Do you want to listen to Molly Meldrum first?
Yeah, there's a good story about Molly Meldrum, at a Christmas party. This is Lee Simon, the music guru at Triple M in Melbourne, talking to Kennedy Malloy.
Molly would, as Molly does, head straight to work from the Chevron.
From the Chevron
nightclub, yeah.
And,
I think he had me in a headlock there one night.
Would come into the big front of the building, either in the Celica or the Rolls Royce that followed that, and waft up the stairs and jump in the studio. Create Molly magic or mayhem. Mm. He would throw playlists out the door. He would play whatever he wanted. He'd do whatever. And there was some discussion by those further north of me in the building about actually getting rid of Molly. And in fact, there was an infamous occasion when
a boardroom meeting.
I was called in there, and Bill Armstrong, founder of the company, managing director, Clyde Simpson, the late wonderful Clyde Simpson, our GM at the time, and a few others. Dragged me into the boardroom and said, look, we need to talk about Molly. Time for him to go. He's just pushed it too far. Clients are getting angry. We're missing out on ad breaks. And I'll defend like you do, push against it. And as it turned out, lying borderline unconscious under the boardroom table, unbeknownst to us until the very last moment, was Molly.
You heard a rustling.
Was he conscious?
Was he out of it? He'd been asleep. He'd come from the Chevron, fallen asleep in the corner of the boardroom, which we've all done on occasion.
Well, who hasn't?
And he's fallen asleep under the boardroom table.
Yes. No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that's the sort of goal we're after. 133353. Have you got a funny Christmas story, good or bad? Give us a call. 133353.
Christmas party mishaps, Roo. It happens all the time. We've got our Christmas show tonight. I can't wait.
Let's make sure it's not us, Ditz. We've got these double passes to go and see the Chaser Live national show. It's in Adelaide tonight. War on 2018 at the Arts Theatre tonight. Let's go to Clearview. G'day, George.
Hey, how you going, guys?
What happened to you, George?
We were having a Christmas lunch outside. It was a really stinking hot, balmy day, and there was a big shower storm. So I thought it might be a good idea to strip down to my jocks and go out and wash the car down the street.
What?
George. What position to do that?
Well, you just got to take your opportunities when they come, free water and all.
How did it go down?
Went all right. car was nice and clean.
All right. Good on you, George.
Thanks, George.
1-3-3-5-3. Give us a buzz if you've got a good Christmas story.
803 Ruined. It's on Triple M. It's our Christmas party tonight, so inspire us. What's happened at your Christmas party?
Let's go to Craigmore. G'day, Dave.
G'day, boys.
What's happened?
It was many years ago. We were at our party and we were having long necks and you poured them into your glass and this, and you know how you put the glass, the bottle up against your arm and drop it back like a long neck? This girl said, I can do that. And she was sitting on the ledge of the window and tipped it back and fell out the window.
Oh, no. How high?
Oh, about 4 foot.
Nice.
Oh, geez.
Legs in the air.
No, we do not need any mishaps tonight at the Christmas show, Ditz.
Hey, a couple of our callers we've had, we're going to send them off to see The Chaser, the live national show. It's on tonight. Very funny fellas, so a great show to go and see The Chaser.
Yeah, we need to get to the news. It's 8:05, Ditz, but it's time for Beat the Bomb. We're going to give away the last Bon Jovi tickets because the concert's on Tuesday night. So get your phones ready. We're about to ring someone on. Go get your phones ready for the last tickets.
8:49, Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. Roo, it's our Christmas party tonight. It's our last day on air today for the year. So we're celebrating Christmas.
Yes, we
are. And you know that Gleeso has done a lot of those suburban songs for us in recent times.
I heard the Burnside one played again the other day, which made me laugh. But he's rolled out one for Christmas, and here it is.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. Just one thing I need. I don't care about the blackouts or the days of 45 degrees. I just want fruit chucks tonight. Hold my West End tinny tight. What more can I say? All I want for Christmas is Adelaide. Well, I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I like. When I ride to Parabanks, that nobody steals my bike. I don't need to hang my stocking there upon the fireplace. I just want to walk down Hindley without getting punched in the face. I want a dodgy photo with Santa down at the magic cave. Then I'd have it made. All I want for Christmas. I won't even wish for snow. But if they restart math, to bargaining I will go. Let's get Shenanola hosting carols by candlelight. I know that he loves a white Christmas and those crazy horse Christmas lights. Santa, won't you fill your sack with Keith Martin's almanac? What more can I say? All I want for Christmas is Adelaide.
Adelaide, Adelaide, Adelaide.
All the lights are shining bright in Lovethorpe as children butcher carols basking in the moon. Santa, won't you bring to me the one I really need? Bring an iced coffee to me. Oh, I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the blackouts or days of 45 degrees. I just want my fruit chocks tonight. Hold my West End tinny tight. What more can I say? All I want for Christmas, oh yeah, is Adelaide.
beautiful, Gleeso.
He is a legend, Gleeso. We're lucky to have him on Triple M, and you're going to have him all week next week.
Yeah.
Gleeso will be on with Alana. But if you want to have a look at an amazing video of this song, you can go to Triple M Adelaide's Facebook page and Instagram and make sure, go and check it out, because Gleeso is a legend.
Plenty of energy. Yep. Gives it everything he's got. Hey, another great South Australian to join us just to finish the year off, Darren Buff-Lehman, to join us next. He's in town for the upcoming cricket. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M ruined its for breakfast.
The test match is coming to Adelaide very soon. It's always early December. I think it kicks off on about
Thursday.
Yeah, I think about the 6th of December, Thursday, Australia take on India.
Mm.
And there's a big fundraising event for the Variety Bash. Sir Les Burdett always has a car that they travel around and raise a lot of money for, and they're doing a test match breakfast hosted by Wayne Flipper Phillips, who will talk about himself for probably most of the show. They've also got special guests Rodney Hogg and Darren Buff-Lehman, and Buff joins us now. Good morning, Buff.
Morning, lads. How are you both?
Do you ever get sick of listening to Flipper talk about himself? He just happens to get in there about, making something like 150 on debut.
Yeah, you make sure it's 159. You've got to get it right, mate. Otherwise, he'll tear strips off you. So, you know what it's like.
Yeah, so if you want to go along to this breakfast, Saturday the 8th of December at the Adelaide Convention Centre. So, a serious breakfast, this one. Tickets are $120, inclusive of food, drinks, and entertainment.
And, Buff, you've got a bit to talk about these days as well. is it a no holds barred sort of breakfast? Are you going to talk about everything?
Oh yeah, you normally do, mate. There's no reason why not. Obviously, it's for a great cause, Variety. They're a great children's charity, so yeah, it's a good day, and hopefully we get a packed house.
What about Hoggy?
What are the hard questions?
Oh well, about what's happened in the last couple of years. Yeah. I don't want to put him on the spot now, but he'll talk about it at the breakfast, I'm sure. What about Hoggy? He's always quite controversial, isn't he?
He loves it, Hoggy, doesn't he? Yeah, he always has an opinion, which, that's part and parcel of being in the media, as you know, lad. You have to have an opinion on different things, so Hoggy's never short of an opinion.
No. What are your thoughts on fast bowlers in general, Buff? They're a different breed, aren't they, fast bowlers?
They certainly are. I hate to say on air what I think of fast bowlers, but, apart from my great mate Jason Gillespie, they're all a little bit different.
A bit like full forwards?
Yeah, they're not the sharpest tools. Put it that way, lad.
All about them?
All about them, always.
Yeah.
What do you like as a dad, Buff? You're the proudest father in the world seeing what your lad's doing in cricket at the moment. He's had a great couple of seasons.
Yeah, he's playing well. I mean, he missed out last year game. He probably needed to get some runs in that if he was a chance to maybe go higher in the test matches this year. He's captain of South Australia. He loves it, loves the state. They look after him, loves the strikers. So, I'm really proud of what he's achieving at the moment.
What do you like at watching, though?
I'm terrible, mate. I'm really bad. Yeah. I'm behind a tree, looking through the leaves. And when he plays a poor shot, I'm normally whacking the branches and, the tree stump, and I get sore hands. So, I'm a really bad watcher.
He grows a good mo, though.
It's great, mo. He loves it.
He just got the best mo in November, I think, in South Australia.
Yeah, he normally has that, mate. He has it all year round. I don't know what he sees in it, but anyway, he likes it.
Well, good on him, mate. Yeah, Buff, this is going to be a great breakfast. It'll be a great test match. We love the test match here in Adelaide. It's it's probably our best couple of days on the calendar in South Australia to get out the back of the test match, watch a bit of cricket, but also catch up with all your mates around South Australia. But you're on to talk about the test match breakfast hosted by Wayne Phillips, special guest yourself and Rodney Hogg, Saturday the 8th of December, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Adelaide Convention Centre. Tickets are $120. For bookings, you can email fundraising at carparo.com.au. That is fundraising at carparo.com.au.
Good on you, Buff.
See you, lads.
There he is, Darren. Thanks, Lehman. Rue, it is time for us to go. Our last show for this year. Thanks to everyone that supported us again right throughout the last 12 months.
Yep, it's been a fantastic year. We love working at Triple M. We love our listeners. We love our sponsors of the show. And we'll be back bigger and better in 2019. But if you run into us between now and Christmas, say good day and we'll have a beer with you.
Hey, big, big thank you to Alice the Wag. We have a lot of fun with her and at her expense as well, Rue. But we love Alice and she's done an enormous job for us. And she's made us what we are, Roo. She's fantastic. She really is.
Absolutely. And thanks to you, Tim, too, the button pusher. We give you a bit of grief every now and then for making the odd mistake. And
he doesn't make mistakes.
Nah, none of us do. But thanks, Timmy, and well done for a great year.
And Tim, it's actually your last show today, isn't it?
Oh, well, so it's a bit sad. I think I'm back. One week.
Have I just written you off prematurely?
Yeah, you have.
Oh, so I gave him a job at the Christmas show last year when I was sacking him tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's been a good 12 months.
Good on you, Tim.
Thanks, guys.
Well done. Have a great Christmas, everybody.
Yep. Good on you, guys. See you later.
The 2018 Mazda plate clearance is all go. Save with Driveway Value. See your local Mazda dealer today.